you're supreme. Raiders of resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips to cash in, stories so grand. Reselling Raiders, rulers of the land. Reselling Raiders, treasure we chase. Hat house fired up, coaching the race. Vintage hat shirts, golf gear supreme. Raiders of resale, living the dream.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Raiders of Reselling Podcast, live from the Hat House. I'm Hat House, joined by Coach Porch and Fired Up Finds. Tonight, we're going to deep dive into vacation mode, since a couple of us have got to do that this past week. We're definitely going to talk about what we do in our business on vacation mode. And we're always going to hit the bolos from now on. Surprise Bolo remix drop tonight. I got a couple to choose from. We definitely need to get our Bolo song together. So we're going to play that for you guys. Hopefully y'all reach out and let us know which one you like the best. But y'all got to get in the chat. Really appreciate everybody that gets into the chat when we're live. We love answering your questions. So make sure you get in the chat there and then hit us up in the comments later. If you don't catch the live, and let us know what would you like to talk about on the next episode, and what'd you like about this one? Let us know in the comments. Awesome. We talked a little bit about it last week. After the show ended, Fired Up had this crazy idea to get us some feedback in the podcast land. How about $15 worth of coupons from each one of our stores for it, and we're going to do a drawing for everyone that leaves us a feedback on a 5-star review in the podcast land. And we're going to get together. We're going to give you a special promo code for $5 off in each one of our stores. Could be one of Fired Up's lives, could be one of Coach's lives, could be in one of my eBay stores or when I go live. Definitely want to help you guys out with that, and thought it'd be a great way for you to get in there, get us a review, because it really keeps us going. And more good news on the advertising front. I'm almost done reviewing our real sponsor. I got to get back with them this week, and it's all been really positive. It's been great. So that is an awesome deal. So I took a couple of weeks to kind of test out this product to see if it'd be something that we'd even want to recommend. And I'm about done with that test. And hopefully we'll have that for you next week. But I got the real ad read tonight. I got the real sponsor tonight. That's on my shoulders. And it's just in time for summertime. And Six Flags, they reached out to us. They're like, hey, everybody's going to be on the road. Everybody's going to be wanting to go somewhere this summer. Because nothing says fun like paying $18 for a bottle of water while waiting in line for 2 hours to be launched into space by a teenager named Kyle. That happens to be my son's name, who definitely just woke up from a nap, which is definitely my son that probably woke up around 1 o'clock this afternoon. a nap in the booth control. Come for the roller coasters, stay because your legs no longer function. Six Flags, where your childhood dreams go to scream and your adult lower back goes to die. Use promo code Too Much Spinning for absolutely nothing at all, nothing off, because they're already overpriced. Just yell it at the ticket booth for confused stares. Six Flags, regret never rode so fast. So beautiful. Is that where we're gonna vacation next?
Sounds like a plan to me, boys.
Sticker.
Yeah. How was y'all's vacation? Coach, how'd you go?
Which one? I've been on vacation. On vacation. Off every vacation. Other week. On vacation. Hey, anytime I get to go away with good friends and play golf and have good drinks and good food, I can't complain. Can't complain.
For sure. Did you get to do any thrifting while you were out?
I did not. And simply because the second trip was jam-packed from start to finish. But it was with guys that thrift. We actually did a show that trip. The first trip was just my golf buddies, and none of them do anything like we do. And I mean to tell you, it really hurt my soul that the Goodwill Center was literally across the street from my hotel.
I'd be sneaking out.
Yeah. And there was a Dunkin' Donuts attached to it.
Dude, two for one? Are you kidding me?
I mean, what am I saying? I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you doing with your life?
I don't know what I'm doing.
You should have gone. What was it like at the Benz? Like you said,
It wasn't a Benz. It was just a big store.
Just a big store.
Big store. But I will tell you this. I'm not so certain it was the right part of town to be looking for anything that I need.
I don't know if we've learned anything from our man over here. He says that's the side of town
you know what?
To be going to.
As I say that, I'm remembering when my wife and I took a trip to the beach and we thrifted the whole way. The worst town that we stopped in had the best stuff. I filled the back of the car from that store.
Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of like a reverse psychology.
It's thing. Hit or miss, you know. It's hit or miss.
But it is hit or miss.
That yeah.
is
true. At that point in time, I was literally on vacation mode. So.
Yeah, that's nice and, though. You know,
as Mikey will tell you, if you look around my basement, out. I'm not hurting for stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, can you bring me that? As a matter of fact, I do want to show you guys these. Thank you. When we get off vacation, talk. I'll show you those. How was the show?
So then you're not going to show us? You make a big deal out of this thing? What is this?
I can show you real quick. Well, I just wanted to give a big shout out real quick to Mr. Thrifts. Everybody knows him.
Oh, yeah.
At least the three of us. You guys obviously know you can replace snaps in the whole nine. You know what I mean? And so I texted him and I said, hey, dude. I said, listen, I know I'm never going to do this. So can I shoot you a couple hats that are like hats that I've bought or have found that I really hold no value out in the world, but that I just love, and they have broken snaps, and can you replace them for me? And he's like, dude, no problem. So the last show that I had before I went on vacation, he bought some stuff for me. So I tossed them in the box and I was like, dude, I was like, no rush. Whenever you want to get them done, like, you know, it's no problem. And then just shoot me a price afterwards or whatever, and I'll pay you. So not only does he get them done in like 2 days, right? Like the fastest, like it landed or whatever. And he probably messaged me back like a day and a half later and was like, they're done. But he also did it for free, which was insane. So I get them back and I just wanted to showcase a couple real quick. My Jacksonville Bulls hat. It's before the Jaguars, right? Before the Jaguars, brand new snap on it.
Beautiful. I got comments. Did you send him the snaps or did he have
one? No. Yeah. That's why I sent him, because, you know, because I know he has a whole bunch of snaps. So I was like, I know
that's a great color match he did.
Yeah, and I told him, I said, dude, they don't have to, the snaps don't have the color I want to match, obviously, but the brand of snap doesn't have to match the hat because they're mine. You know, I'm like, I don't really care that much. And then I got the fader.
Oh, wow.
The super faded out. And matter of fact, on this one, he literally put logo 7 snaps on. Which is freaking badass. And then the last one, which it might be potentially my favorite, but it's also worthless out in the world, is the North Florida Yankees spinoff. The North Florida Yankees spinoff on the old Youngin tag. I just thought that was so sick. You know what I mean? Like the North Florida, I was like, I found that at a state sale. So I just wanted to give a big shout out to him. Thank you so much for fixing those up for me. And he does
the man.
Yeah, no, he is the man. And he does do he fixes hats too. So anybody that's watching that needs snaps or things of the nature done or whatever, at Mr. Thrifts on Instagram, I believe, probably on all the platforms, and hit him up and you know, he'll get you right. So yeah, I just want to give a shout out and thank you so much, because now I can wear those hats and I'm freaking stoked about it.
Yeah, that's okay. Awesome. I got to, talking about replacing snaps, I got the secret weapon on replacing snaps. I purchased a sewing machine, but you just can't sew snaps on with any sewing machine because it won't go through. But I spent $100 on this. It's actually like a shoe sewing machine, like a leather or cobbler sewing machine. And it came from China. It's this big, huge sewing machine. And the needle is bigger on it. So it goes straight through the snaps, straight through all of the fabric. And it's one of the best things that I ever bought for $100, since I do so many snaps. Everybody may not do as many as I do, but just if you're looking to do a lot of snaps, I would look into that. Because if you ever tried to like put the needle through the hole and the snap, you will almost poke the needle through your thumb half the time, or the needle breaks or bends, or it is the worst. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how everybody does it out in the world. Yeah. I assume they sew them by hand, but that $100 sewing machine from, I got it on Amazon. It was definitely worth it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I have the hand needle and thread, and I'm like, I get so much stuff, and like, I'm just constantly doing things, and I'm always like, yeah, dude, I'm going to replace these. And then I just know after it's, you know, those have been here for a long time. And I'm like, after a while, I got to be honest with myself. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to do this. So, you know, there's some things that I'm just like, I'll ship off, because I just know that like, I'm just not going to end up doing it, you know?
Yeah. With that thing, I can literally replace, I can sew in new snaps in less than 5 minutes.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
but, yeah. Great. Definitely shout out to Mr. Thrifts. Love Mr. Thrifts.
Yeah,
he always hooks me up with Sooner stuff. He always sends me a text whenever he gets it in, and just let him know what you're looking for, because he finds the heaters all the time.
Yeah,
and all different stuff.
He's in a good spot, dude. He's in South Florida.
Yeah.
I actually got to meet him at ThriftCon November of last year. So that was sick. That was sick. He was like, he's looking at me, and I was like, God, that guy looks familiar, huh? And then I walked up to him, and I'm like, what's going on, man? And he's like, hey. I'm like, you Mr. Thrifts? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, dude, what? And, you know, he knew who I was, and I was like, dude, that's freaking sick. So I sat there and chopped it up with him for a second, but it was awesome. How was that show that you guys did on vacation, Rob?
The show was, just to give everybody a recap, the show was, myself and Thrifty Golf DMV, the Maryland boys, against Griff Golf 304 and Mulligan Merchant, the West Virginia boys, because we were out at Griff's annual tournament that his dad started with another guy named Marco. So it's Griff and Marco's Can-Am. So it's a bunch of Canadians, a bunch of Americans get together and play a golf tournament. And so, you know, being whatnotters, we all came out there. We all brought 20 shirts each. And then we went head to head. Our team Maryland versus team West Virginia. We would put up a shirt, they would match it. As you saw, you know, people were swiping in the winter shows. So I think the final score, it was first to 21 wins. And I think the final score was, I think it was like 21 to 10. Yeah.
21. Wow. So you mopped the floor.
Mopped them.
It was a straight ass whooping.
Absolutely smoked them.
Yeah.
So you were just trying to have a better.
They were gracious hosts, and it was a fantastic time. That was the best part of it, is we got to hang out and have fun and everything. But we, Thrifty and I, now have the ultimate bragging rights, at least for 1 year.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand the format a little bit of this. So you're trying to have the banger.
Yeah.
And you're trying to sell yours over. You're trying to get them to pick the best shirt, to pick your shirt for the money paid.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. So like you and I hold up a shirt together on frame, and then the bid starts, and then whatever that bid ends at, then they say whoever's in, you know, whoever won it in the chat's like, I'll pick Hat Houses, and then
go
ahead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's freaking sweet.
When we took out two Graysons and a G4 shirt with like a Puma, an Under Armour, And I think I had a Grayson that actually went up against a Grayson.
Really?
When we wiped out their three top bangers, it was done.
So it's kind of like war in
yeah.
the
World. So that's the other thing. If your shirt loses, it can't get pulled again.
Oh, it can't get pulled.
It goes to the rack. You can't keep putting it up.
Yeah.
Once it's one and done. One and done.
That sounds fun.
So we got to 31. We had 80, so we sold the rest single file afterwards.
Yeah. That sounds fun. That sounds really fun.
And literally, you know, you got four sellers sitting there, and it's I mean, 80 shirts plus the giveaways. We probably packed that show in about 20 minutes.
Nice. Yeah. That does well, huh?
I mean, pap, 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 done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's freaking awesome. That's super fun.
So then we dropped them off at the post office the very next morning. This is an interesting little tidbit. I'm in Fairmont, West Virginia. If you can picture a small town, West Virginia town. We go to this place, this cool little dive place to have breakfast. We walk up and the door says, no credit, no debit, cash or check or only. Check. That's cash cool. or check yeah. only.
That's wild.
And, we all looked at each other like, who's got money?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'll take cash. Problem. How about Cash App? Anybody got the Cash App?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I've never owned a checkbook in my life, ever.
Yeah, well, being an old guy, everybody looked at me and went, you still got check? Great check? Like, fuck off.
Oh. That's literally so funny. Yeah, I got a sweet shirt. I got it. I opened up the mail this morning. So I got a sweet shirt from.
Mikey came and supported.
Yeah.
Made sure to pick the Maryland boys.
Yeah. I don't remember what the Thank other you, one my was friend. That was running against it, but it's a nice shirt. I like it. I mean, I literally had $100 bid on it. So, I mean, whatever.
Oh, I knew you had stacked it up. That thing just kept cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah. It was, like, yeah. I put $100 on whatever, you know. I could care less if it was a, you know, all white Hanes undershirt. It was going to be $100 bill. And if somebody wanted to run it all the way up there, y'all would have freaking.
Yeah. I literally took the time to make sure my 20 were all heat.
Yeah.
That came up there.
Yeah. Cause I was like, I only had a couple minutes in between whatever we were doing. So I was like, and I forgot that it was that Friday. So when I went on, I got a notification that he was live. And I was like, oh, damn. I was like, let me go in there real quick. So I was like, and I just told myself, I was like, whatever the next shirts are, it's going to be $100. Whatever, you know, however high it
gets. Yeah. All right. My boy was getting so antsy about it. I was like, I even put one of my FootJoys that had the Titleist Bandon on it.
Nice.
I was like, all right, here we go.
Let's talk about this vacation mode. So what did y'all do while you were on vacation? Do you let your store roll as far as eBay? And what did you do for the other ones?
Well, like whatnot, I just put it in vacation mode and it just says, you know, hey, it's on vacation mode. You can't buy anything. And then usually for eBay, I'll set time away to be like a day after I leave and then maybe a day before I get back. That way, if anything sells, I have that little bit of gap. But then sometimes, you know, I forget to take it off.
Yeah, I usually give myself a little bit of buffer as well on the eBay. I just started kind of cross listing even more lately, so I would probably just turn the other ones off too. I probably wouldn't even want to mess with them.
Especially eBay, you don't want to take a chance. Well, I mean, because like with whatnot, if I forgot to turn it off and somebody bought something, I can literally reach out to them, no problem.
Right.
Instantaneously and be like, hey, dude, I'm on vacation. I'll send it when I get back.
Yeah.
You don't get that same problem come up with the, you know, other platforms that you do with eBay. I mean, they want you out the door.
Yeah. Depop doesn't allow you to sell on vacation mode. It's just an on or off. It's on.
Yeah.
It'll automatically turn off after 7 days unless you go in there and do it yourself. But it'll, you know, you can go look at your page or whatever, and it'll just say the seller's away and can't ship right now, but it has no option to buy anything. And then Right. But I forgot to turn my Depop one off, and I brought a camo jacket with me to Montana, and I didn't know that it was not on. So I got a notification the day that I, or yeah, the morning, the first morning that I was there, that somebody bought the camo jacket that I brought with me. And I was like, that's so sick.
Good thing you had it.
I was like, I was like, dang it. So I had to go pay $3.80 for a poly bag at the post office and ship out the only jacket that I bought, that I brought to Montana, that, was not just a normal hoodie. So
that is truly amazing, mainly because you sold something on Depop, because I can't get any traction on Depop. I have like, I started putting more items. I probably got close to 100. I have like 200 sales total on Depop. But it just is, I don't know. I can't, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I feel like I should sell more, especially when I had close to like 1,000 items listed on Depop. Maybe I'm just not.
Are you promoting them?
I just started boosting like a couple of days ago, and I saw the whole boost your whole shop thing. I'm assuming that now I'm paying like a promoted fee on the back end when it sells.
8%. Basically, the shop just means instead of going in there and individually boosting every item.
Yeah.
Even the ones that say you list tomorrow, having to go and click that button to boost it. If you just hit boost your shop, when you go and list an item, it'll just automatically boost. You know what I mean? You don't, you're basically just taking out the step of like having to individually boost every item.
Yeah. And I feel like every single offer that I've gotten, I just wanted to write back, are you seriously buying it? Yeah. Or are you just messing with me?
Yeah. Yeah. For
when I only did that 3 times. I don't know why you
but I fired up the old Depop store again, so it should be humming here.
Yeah
And I'm only putting better stuff in there.
I think when you do the promoted, I mean, Amanda, like I said last week or the week before, Amanda, that's where she sells the majority of her stuff at, you know. But I like eBay's you know, vacation mode or whatever, because what I do, and sometimes I'll have stuff to list while I'm gone, you know, like I'll kind of save up or whatever. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't feel like doing it while I'm out on vacation, so I just won't have anything. But I'll set mine to, you know, 10 a.m. the day before I leave. I'll turn it off the day that I get back, or, you know, have it off. And then I'll usually just do a 30% off sale the entire time that I'm gone. And that way, and I've found that when you run the 30% off sale for the duration of your time, especially if you're not listing, you know, your sales are going to drop for sure. You know what I mean? Definitely. But they won't go from 5 or 10 a day or whatever your normal is to like nothing. You know what I mean? So like when I was on vacation, I was gone for 9 days, and in those 9 days, no listing, I sold 11 items. So, you know what I mean? Not bad. You know what I mean?
Including the coat off your back.
Oh, 12, including the coat off my back. Yeah. So, you know, for not listing or also not having a massive store, there's only, you know, whatever, 180 items in there or something like that. It's it seems to work out pretty good. Like when we went to California last year, I think I sold like 30 items while I was there, but I also had, I think I had 3 listings a day or whatever, you know what I mean, that I just had saved up in drafts. So that adding the listings as well, obviously kind of drove that, but having the 30% off, I think works out really good. If you guys are going to go, or anybody watch is going to go on vacation and want to still be able to sell, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. I've done it both ways. I saved up like to draft to like 20, when we went to San Diego about a year ago, I guess it's been 2 years ago now. But anyways, I did like 25 items a day and we're still selling pretty consistently. And I just don't like, I still got a lot of questions though. Like once you hit that, people that bought on that first day and you get to day 3 or 4, why haven't you shipped my item yet? And then I always just responded with, do you want me to cancel it? Because I have until this day, it's on vacation mode. What do you want me to do here? I don't know what you're, what you were expecting.
I got four of those messages. So like I said, I only sold 11 items. Four of those 11 have messaged me and they were like, you know, one was kind of aggressive. Like, it said, comma, why hasn't this item shipped yet with a bunch of exclamations and question marks. And I just told him, I'm like, when you bought this item, it shows you at the very top that this seller is on vacation mode until this the fourth or whatever. So expect
and it's like to be delayed. Blinking red too, isn't it? Isn't it
like it's like impossible to miss. So you know, it's just it's
I'm gonna buy this, but I'm not gonna look. I'm not gonna look and see anything. But I'm gonna buy it.
Exactly. I don't know how that's missed, but you know. They tend to miss it. So it's just one of those
things. Bro, my hat is way more important than your vacation right now. Yeah. I need you to get on that right
now. Catch a flight back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, that's why I do the 30% off, you know, because I'm like, I'm enticing you with the money off because you have to wait the week that I'm gone or, you know, whatever.
Very fair exchange.
Yeah. So, you know, just what they want.
If we're going to complain about eBay buyers, I got another one. So somebody bought a hat on Monday. They were leaving on Wednesday. I do have overnight shipping available in my store. If you pay for it, it's $35. I think I paid almost $40 now for express shipping, and I'll overnight it. And he's like, hey, do you think you can get this hat to me here by Wednesday? I said, sure. I can drop it off express tomorrow if you want to pay for it. And it, you just selected a checkout. And what did they pay? They paid $5.95 and then still sent me a message on the checkout. Hey, I really need this by Wednesday. If you can make sure it gets here by then.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I don't understand where that comes from.
Yeah. You could be my next door neighbor and it probably still won't be there by Wednesday. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, dude, if you're dropping, you could be in the same town. If you're dropping it off at the post or whatever, it ain't going to be there.
Yeah. It could be there next month for all we know.
Yeah.
Are people really that naive? Are they really that, do they not online shop that much? Have you guys noticed how bad Amazon has gotten? It's like they, around here, they've dropped their times to almost like 4 or 5 days to deliver an item now.
Yeah.
You hardly ever get it the next day, even with Prime. And they really increased the, time it takes to get your item now.
Yep. For my big 1 year show, I purposely bought extra stuff that I needed because I had to get to the $25 mark to get it the next day or whatever. And when I went to check out, I hit checkout, everything, it's like comes up with that bar that says you've reached $25, so on and so forth. And it shows up that the delivery date is going to be like 3 days after that show. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I needed like a $7 thing. You know what I mean? And like, I ran the bill up past $25 just so I would get that $7 thing like tomorrow. You know what I mean? And sure enough, dude, it came like literally like 4 days later. I was like, dude, this sucks. So I don't know what I did, but I did something wrong.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's noticed on Amazon, but they're definitely not trying to get it to you the next day anymore. Yeah. They're not going out of their way.
No way. So
you're saving up for the holidays.
Hey, I didn't get any comments on my freaking beard, dude.
I noticed something was different, but I don't know. I don't know what to say.
You gotta shave that. You gotta enjoy it now. You gotta shave that shit off to go back to work.
Look how it grows, though, dude. It just grows in a perfect line, dude. Come on, man. I'm meant to be a mountain man.
Is that what you're going to grow up and be?
You're meant to be a mountain man, but you live at the beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of a culture shock, you know? I might transition into a mountain man.
Sorry.
Ooh, transition.
Yep. Oh, Mr. Fish just went live. Look at that. yeah. So, but we had a freaking a blast of time. I did post on Instagram a couple of the finds that I had. Out of Goodwill in, I think, Belgrade, Montana. So, you know, a town of a
thousand. I love that place.
Was that where the Green Bay stuff came from?
Yeah.
I saw that post.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably picked up 20 items, 25 items maybe while I was out there. I only went to like three spots. I got some Carhartt double knees, a couple of really cool hats, actually. I went to a couple yard sales last Saturday. I got a super sick, like, 70s, like, Disneyland, like, Raglan shirt, which is awesome. Some kids stuff. And then those Green Bay Puffers or whatever, those came out on a rack right in front of me. I was checking out, and I was like, hey, I was like, I'll be right back. I pushed my cart off into the corner, and I briskly walked over to this new rack because I saw one of the arm, like, you know, one of the sleeves poking out. And yeah, off that one rack, there was like all the Green Bay stuff, like starter jacket, like an NFL jacket. There was a starter freaking Colorado Buffs and a Nutmeg Green Bay. Like,
did they have that stuff marked up pretty good?
No, dude, $6.
$6.
$6. Yeah.
Yeah. I cannot stand you sometimes.
Yeah. $6. $6. So every t-shirt was $3.99. Every jacket was $5.99. And I didn't buy any jeans there, but I think jeans were $6.99, maybe something like that. So, yeah, I walked out of there with, some nice stuff, like an Oakley, you know, like an Oakley jacket and some other cool stuff. So I was pretty pumped for, like, I literally spent 20 minutes in there.
Yeah. So, you definitely cleaned house there.
Yeah. That was
$6.
Nice.
They were Logo Athletic jackets too, weren't they?
Yeah.
There was
one Logo Athletic, one starter. And then like, just like the NFL brand, it's like not, you know, all that special, but, and Green Bay Packers, of course, is like, I don't know. I feel like you tend to find the most like Green Bay Packers stuff. But, yeah, it was still cool though.
Yeah, a lot of stuff like Green Bay Packers, Cowboys, they were just huge in the late 90s when all that stuff was coming out. And so you really find a lot of those teams.
Yeah.
The prices are lower a little bit that you can get for them. But
yeah, it's definitely on the lower. It's definitely,
well, does anybody remember them? That's the thing.
On the, it's definitely on the, you know, lower end of the spectrum, like when it comes to basically any other team that you find. If you find Green Bay or you find Cowboys, you're like, I'm stoked to find it, but you know, it'd be nice if it was like the Ravens or, you know, like some other team that will draw a higher price. But it was so
cool. The Shark Twos, the Splash Hats, definitely pretty prominent in the Green Bay and the Cowboy world.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I told my uncle, I said, hey, this is why I fly on Southwest, specifically because I bring one bag full of clothes, like my own stuff, and then I bring
They haven't made that change yet, have they?
No, not yet. And then I bring an empty bag for all the stuff that I'm going to find wherever I'm at. And then, you know, I mean, usually if you spend, like when Amanda and I go somewhere, we'll spend like half a day or a day outsourcing, finding, and that will pay for, you know, like if we have a good day, it might pay for the entire trip, you know.
Yeah,
at a minimum,
exactly
it pays
what
for,
my wife and I do when we go.
It pays for a good portion of the trip at a minimum. If not, you know, you're basically paying for the entire trip, you know. So it's a nice way to like travel and like not necessarily lose money in the long run.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's what my wife and I do when we go to Tokyo.
We
fill up our suitcases with stuff for the big kids and the little kids. And once we empty all that out, it's like 2.5 suitcases left over.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not a tax advice show either. So, I mean, you may be able to deduct some of that travel expense.
Yes.
That was one of the ideas.
Consult your CPA.
Yeah.
That was one of our ideas. Thank you, dude.
Yeah.
Well, actually, this is what's funny is that when Rob was talking about the show that they had, right? Because they obviously run it off of Thrifties. My mind automatically goes to, I wonder how that works out with taxes. You know?
Can you deduct the green fees on that?
Yeah, I'm like,
I think I could deduct the whole trip.
Yeah, you can literally because
it's I'm going to tell you what work trip. out there, and I don't need to deduct the green fees really because it's one. Price for the whole weekend. So, and I'm going to tell you, every day there was some discussion about whatnot.
Exactly.
And buying and selling.
And even if there wasn't, prove it, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, reselling is definitely, even if I did get back in the corporate world or whatever, it would definitely be something I would do, one, for the tax advantages, and just being able to have, everybody should have some sort of small business that they run some taxes through.
Yeah. My uncle's out there in Montana. They own very successful multi-million dollar trucking company. And even they say that, they're like, dude, everybody in the world should have an LLC and just go mow your neighbor's grass, once a month or something, because they're like, there's a lot of benefits to having something like that. So, consult your people.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. This is not a tax advice show. Yeah,
don't call me when your tax bill's 40 grand. Okay.
Yeah. What is it called? This may work for, I got to figure out what it's called now. I keep forgetting. Qualified. Qualified joint venture.
So if
a husband and wife are the two involved in the partnership and they both contribute to it and they're the only ones involved, you don't have to actually file as a partnership and pay all of those fees or those, all that partnership paperwork, because you are considered a qualified joint venture. And I'm telling Steven this because it is a husband and wife, and you're soon to be, but that is something I read about when I was putting together our little deal here.
Yeah.
I said,
I may need to change my tax status.
Yeah, exactly.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. I'm trying to get it.
All right. Taxes are boring. Anyways, on to.
Yeah, sorry.
So we're still on fines. So I was on vacation, obviously, and I told you I didn't thrift or anything. But when I came back and I came into the basement, I'm looking over in this corner here. That's what I was digging out. And, Mike, you know how my shows have been selling shorts like crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. So I find this box sitting on the bottom rack of this rack behind me, blocked by a golf bag. I couldn't see it until I leaned over it. It's full of shorts.
This guy's out of control.
So this is going to be in the next show.
Yeah, they've really been killing it for you.
Including some bird dogs.
Nice.
I don't even know what I got here, bro.
So
I don't even know what I got. It's beautiful.
The other thing that I had on the list to talk about was, when do you pass? We kind of went out of order. We went to vacation first. When do you pass? And I really wanted to talk about, I passed on like one huge deal. I went to that. There was a storage unit. This person was selling storage units this week. And I went to it. I sent you all the picture of it, but they had three separate storage units. They wanted $1,000 for each storage unit. One had a bunch of women's in it. One had a bunch of men's, look like older kind of Western stuff. And then one miscellaneous. I really only looked at the men's, and I passed on it. And when I'm going through stuff like that, I kind of look at, out of every 10, how many am I going to actually be able to list on eBay? And there was probably that's it. That's what the storage unit looked like.
These were 10 by 20, so everybody knows. It's 200
feet each. It was huge.
I'm
going to guess there was about 2,000 items in this storage unit. And I passed. I mean, I didn't even make an offer.
In just one or in all of them?
It was probably 2,000 in just the men's. Men's.
Because remember, that U-Haul was 2,000 pieces.
Yeah. It was probably about the same as that U-Haul.
Yeah.
But this, I count like, what I did when I went in there, I was like, what would I actually list on eBay? And that was about one out of every 10 items that I would even take the time to wash it again, clean it, put it back on eBay. And it just was, I felt like it was going to be a lot more work than I was ever going to be able to make out of it. Would you lose money on 2,000 items for $1,000? Probably not. But
no, if you ran a, you know, I guess they run those bail shows under Men's Vintage. If you went on Whatnot and just did like a $1 starts and sold, even if you sold every piece for $1, you'd make a grand.
Yeah. But it would be a hard.
Then you have the other two lockers to sell as well.
Yeah. Well, that was just for one locker, $1,000 for that one locker. And it was hard to kind of see. There was just a lot of.
Was there a lot of junk, or did Whatnot cross your mind when you were in there, or were you just strictly thinking about it from a?
It crossed my mind. Yeah, there. I mean, you would see a pink polo, and then you would see like four or five Faded Glory polos, you know, and then you might see another Greg Norman polo, and then four or five more just old that nobody would want.
Yeah,
it was just
then that was good.
Yeah, I think I was good on that pass. I would love to have taken it. We could have been set for listing for a while. And then the other thing that I passed on was some really pretty nice hats. He had a lot of New Era fitted hats, and there was like 90 in this lot. I thought I shot a pretty good offer to begin with, and I came in around $4 a hat on that. But he was really wanting closer to $5 or $6 a hat. And I get it. When people are trying to sell their lot, they look at, hey, this is a $30 hat. This is a $40 hat. And again, it's like one out of 10 was $40 or $30. And then you might see another one out of 10 that's $30 or $40.
Yeah.
But the rest are like $10 to $15.
I think the problem with that lot that you're talking about was the 9 out of 10 were all Canadian.
Canadian sucks too. And I don't know. It's kind of once you get into reselling a little bit, they just don't resell as well. A lot of the Canadian stuff. And the Canadians are the biggest lowballers out there half the time. They don't want to pay up for their Blue Jays hats and constantly get lowball offers.
I can tell you, Canadians. The past couple of years that I've gone to this, all the Canadians are there to buy stuff there. They don't, because they're, you know, oh my God, we're in America now. Let me buy some shit and get it.
Yeah.
They don't really care for the regular stuff at home. They want to get the U.S. stuff. Yeah, that's why I was saying, like, even the Canadian stuff, they don't want Canadian stuff.
Yeah. And younger me probably would have done the deal and trying to just like make a relationship and trying to maybe that person also said that they had more storage units that they planned on buying. Did they? Maybe not. We'd have to see down the road. And I probably would have done it just to try to make that relationship in the past to get more deals in the future. But I passed on that one too. So I passed on two things this past week and feel like I made the right choices on them, but
yeah, I think so too. Like that, yeah, I think so after too. After the U-Haul, I'm like my new approach or whatever is like I have to be so ultra confident in buying a big lot, not even necessarily from like the buy-in price, you know, like the not. Well, the not the per piece price, but like the lump sum price, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just the work that I put in for that for such a little return. Now I'm just like, you know, I have to be blown away by the deal. And, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, know that I'm going to hit a number that I want to hit to take on that. Because just like you said, it's so much work. And on top of that, everything that you saw in that unit, right? All the Faded Glories, so on and so forth. All those were probably the ones that were just on top. You know, I don't know how much digging you really did to the bottom of those bins or
right.
You know, so it's like, you know, you never know if there's like a bin full of Super Grails or if a lot of those bins, which is, this is more likely, if a lot of those bins are just more, just BS, you know, stuff that you're like, you know, so it, and to take the time to like go through it when you're trying to come up with a number or make a deal happen, to like really get a great grasp of everything that's in there when it's so much stuff is, you know, it's super time consuming. And you know what I mean? I think you don't want to pull out too much good stuff too, because then they're going to be like, dang, well, is, you know, is $1,000, you know, did I charge enough? You know, if you keep pulling, you know, if there are really good items or whatever, you know what I mean? So it's, yeah.
And a couple of decent ones that I pulled out, like had huge stains on them. So I was like, all right.
Then you got to treat them all. And yeah,
that's just a turn off. Yeah, it's too much work.
Yeah, that's just a ton of work.
Yeah, where I landed was I was around the $500 to $1,000 that you would have to pay me to come clean out your storage building. Is about where I was.
I like that.
I didn't think she was going to go for that. I didn't float it. I thought about it. I was like, all right, $1,000?
Yeah.
Here's my Cash App. I'll clean this out for you.
Yeah, that's literally so funny. That's like that's absolutely hilarious.
So I imagine those will be on the market for a while.
Yeah, I did a similar thing to where you were talking about with the hats. Hey, CJ, where I did the initial buy-in, I wasn't really happy with, you know, we negotiated a price. It was really much higher than I really would want it to be per piece. But I knew that I could build an entire show around what I was getting and add as much to it to be able to dilute that price down to a reasonable number for the show. So I did that. I did the whole first step. Let's get to know each other kind of thing. And then along came the second without even me asking, hey, I've got your second order ready. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. We haven't even discussed anything. So I'm not going to be getting that second order. That was at that point I was ready to walk away.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean,
and really me,
I'll take my lump on the first one, but I mean, you know, seriously, look, I was trying to give you an outlet. This is a person that had become a new seller or whatnot. And they literally have a ton of merchandise. I'm trying to give you an outlet to do some, you know, just some big orders for resellers on the side, so you can make that quick cash to keep you going on the other side. And it just, yeah. I don't think the concept sunk in.
Yeah, and the bins have really changed things up for me, where I can just go down there and just pick the things that I want now, and just
like Scotty Cameron's.
Yeah. So yeah, and
this guy. Oh, the bins are just absolute dog ass. And then the next day, Scotty Cameron Butter. Yeah.
Is this any good?
Yeah. Is this any good?
I'm like, this is all right.
Yeah.
It's like JD over here.
Yeah.
He picked up a whole set of golf clubs for $20 called Scotty Cameron's. Thinks he paid too much. Of course, the wifey's telling him, yeah, you paid way too much.
Way too much. JD, way too much.
I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you the 20 to get you out of the hole. And take them off your hands. I know some golf guys.
I'll do you better. I'll give you 40 and I'll pay shipping.
45.
I'll give you $100 and I'll pay shipping.
For mine?
Nope. For a whole set of Scotties, which I don't really know what that means. I don't know. I don't think Scotty
makes. I don't think they make irons.
But I'm thinking maybe
Scotty doesn't make irons.
Smack full.
Scotty only makes putters.
Golf bag smack full of putters.
But mine is still on the market. Okay. It has not sold yet.
It will. It will. You had it up there for a week, right?
Yeah.
How much you got it listed for?
I put 200 on it. I think it's about where the market is. It's going to need a new grip is the biggest thing with it. And it's got one of those long grips, which I guess people don't really like to re-grip. But I think, I mean, I'd probably take 150 if somebody offered it.
What size is it?
It's 50 inch. It's a 50 incher.
Okay. So it's, yeah, it's a
lot. Comes up way that's past a, your
that
nipples.
Should be like, yeah, you got to make sure you put that down that it's a broomstick.
Is that the key word, broomstick?
Yeah, but usually it's a smaller one at the top and then another one in the middle. A lot of what you might have is an arm lock. It's extra long and it locks right on the guy's arm. And you just kind
arm lock and broomstick. I think
kind of like how DeChambeau. It's almost like how
yes, he uses he used to yeah he uses an arm lock putter
yeah Yeah, his whole thing, he's like a whole, just like a big pendulum, you know?
Yeah, he tries to be as still as possible.
Yeah, stud.
And that's, I don't want to ship it because I can't imagine 50 inches. What kind of irregular box shipment that's going to cost me?
Have you calculated it?
No, I don't. Where would I get a 50 inch box to?
You're shipping at UPS, right?
Yeah, I would if it was 50 inches. I'm assuming it'd probably be 40 or 50 bucks to ship. I probably need to look at it.
Yeah, they got them listed as up to 42 inches. So,
On your listing, do you have it as like buyer pay shipping, and then you just have the dimensions of the golf club in there, or
I haven't put it on eBay.
Oh, okay.
I just put it on Facebook.
Okay.
I've had several trade offers.
Yeah.
On it, I don't know what you're trading. I don't ever trade.
But. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're not here to accumulate more stuff. We're here to accumulate greenbacks.
I told Mary next trade offer I get, I said, I'm just going to tell them I'm trading for two Benjamins. Or
dude, 10. Just picture your butt cheeks, dude.
I think I'm going to look. I'll look around, but I think I may have the putter cover you need for that. It's a Combi, right? K-O-M-B-I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might have a putter cover clutch,
for
you something.
For the low, low price of $85?
For the low, low price of $2.50 shipping right there.
I just said it to you.
That's bros being bros, dude.
Yeah.
That is bros being bros.
Coach hooks me up all the time.
It's not exactly the prettiest putter
twice
cover.
Twice retail.
I'll tell you that. They're ugly as sin.
Dude, that's literally awesome. I do have a funny story to tell you guys that is not necessarily related to reselling, but it is a pretty funny story. I'm out in Montana, right? I just spend 9 days there. My little cousin goes, "Hey, you want to go skiing tomorrow?" And I'm like, "Yeah, dude, sure, I'll go skiing." You know what I mean? I was like, I used to live in California, so like we skied when I was younger, but I explicitly ask him, I say, "Hey, are there bunny slopes or, you know, something of the like?" You know what I mean? Like just the easy mode, because that's how it always was in California. You'd have like the easy and intermediate and so on and so forth. He goes, "Yeah, dude, no problem." I go, "Okay, cool." Anybody wants to look this up that's listening or whatever after the fact, we go to this place called Beartooth Basin, right?
Yeah, that doesn't sound
It's on the border of Wyoming.
That's already sounding troubling.
So we get there. So we get to this place called Red Lodge. We pick up three of his friends, expert skiers, right? They're like, "Hey, dude, have you ever skied before?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but it's been probably 15 years, right?" The kid looks at me dead in my face, not smiling or laughing. He goes, "You're going to die." And I go, "Hey, dude, that doesn't sound very promising, dude." So anyway, we go up this mountain. It's like this. 11,000 feet in the air. And I strap on the ski boots and the skis. We get to the edge of the mountain to go freaking ski down it. There's like a lip. It basically looks like a coping of like a skate ramp, you know? And this guy comes up on his skis and he goes, "Are you looking for a spot to drop on the mountain?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "I'm trying to figure out how the hell I'm going to get down this thing without dying."
Like a half pipe?
Yeah. Well, so like if you imagine like the metal coping that's on a half pipe, right?
Yeah.
That's basically what the top of this mountain was like. It was like a 10-foot tall ice and snow, almost like coping. So like you would like go over it and then drop onto the mountain and then ski all the way down to the bottom. You know what I mean? And so they had a small part that was carved out. So he goes, "Or you could just do this." Flies by me, goes off the mountain, does a backflip, lands on the mountain and goes down. I kid you not. On everything I've ever loved, the mountain is like this steep. I swear my life. And I'm like, "What am I doing here, dude?" But it's the worst thing. So anyway, about 30 minutes later and a conservative 60 falls, I finally make it to the bottom of the mountain, dude. And it was the best, worst experience of my entire life, dude. I was like, everybody was flying by me. They were like, "Have you ever skied before?" And so I just started telling people no, because I'm like, I basically haven't, you know? And they're like, "Dude, you're insane." They're like, "We've never seen somebody come up here and learn how to ski at Beartooth Basin." They're like, you know, it's like double black diamond, like expert level shit, dude. People doing backflips, 360s, all kinds of crap. It was insane, dude.
Did your cousin apologize or
any
remorse?
He apologized. He apologized 10 feet. He goes off the he goes off the little top of the mountain the very first time, gets about 10 feet down, and he looks up at me, and I'm like, what am I doing, dude? I'm like, this is, you totally lied to me. He looks at me and goes, sorry, but I've never been here before. I said, well, how did you know that there was a bunny slope if you've never been here? He's like, well, I just thought there was going to be. Nope, it was one mountain.
That was the only run on the whole mountain.
Once you got
halfway, it's the bear tooth.
You got halfway down and it split, but one run, dude. And yeah, it was, oh God, I almost died, dude. This almost became a two-man pod, dude.
You couldn't like go down on your side and just kind of like.
Dude, this thing was like, no, dude. It was so sketchy. It was so scary for a Florida boy.
Were your skis like in the X the whole time?
You couldn't even. I always learned like pizza, French fries. Yeah. It was so steep. There was no pizza in. You know what I mean? It was just like I would go this way, and I didn't know how to turn around. So I would lay down. I'd flip my skis over my turn back this way, and I'd go back down that way. Yeah. It was freaking so gnarly, dude.
You know, if you just went this way, it would have been over with.
Dude, you would have been going back to the future 200 miles an hour, dude. Like, that was a death sentence. So, anyway.
Could have got your coat back then.
Yeah. That's my fun story.
Yeah, I think I would have been so mad. I'd have been so angry. They almost killed you.
I know, dude. You guys almost lost the freaking only guy in here that keeps our average age.
We'd have had to put a ribbon on the reselling podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You guys could have got armbands made, you know? Yeah.
In memory of, we would always had like this little blow up doll in the third box.
Oh, that's really so funny, dude.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely stoked for next week. Hopefully I'll start doing the pod from the space. I sent everybody that's out there. I sent Rob and Steven a video, but Amanda and I are moving the biz into a little, we got ourselves a little office space.
What I'm talking about.
Which I'm stoked about because it's about time to get it up out of the house, and it's only month to month. That was the biggest seller for me was that
so you're gonna be able to hold all your inventory,
everything,
and your selling setup will all be right there.
Yeah. So like all the we'll have a bunch of racks in that small room in the beginning. We'll have all the inventory in there, and then Amanda called the bigger room our playpen, and that's just where we can do our photo ship, like the whole nine. Inside the AC is always set to 70, you know, so like it's gonna be a cool thing. We're gonna get moved in there tomorrow, and I'm pretty stoked about it.
Sweet.
So, yeah,
lots of pictures.
I don't think I asked, but how have the bins been since last week?
That's really Mary had her surgery. We hadn't really been.
Oh,
yeah. We hadn't been all week. I found that, it's bolo time. I did have something to share on the bolos. Thrifty Trotter made it just in time for bolo time. All right, guys, I need some feedback on the bolo time music because we're going to kick our bolo time off with, I've got two separate ones. So I need to know which one should we play for our new bolo time going forward. Here's the first one.
I can't hear it.
Seriously? You have to hear it back.
You hear it. Is it good?
There's that bolo song. And then I got this one.
Mono Breakers, it's bolo time. Drop your favorite cash find. Raiders keep you informed.
You really can't hear it.
Yeah.
Raiders polos can't be ignored.
Oh, I can hear it on the screen.
Find the polo prize.
I like two.
You like number two?
Kripke says number two.
Christy Trotter says the second one too.
Yep. I'm
all right, I'll give you one more listen. The first one's kind of like a guitar catchy riff thing. The second one is more like a little rap hit. Yeah, just act like you can hear.
It's bolo time. Drop your favorite cash find.
All right, we're going with this one.
Informed.
Are we playing number two now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like that. Yeah, all right. And then we'll fade it down. And we'll go over our bolos. So guess what? So last week, Fired Up, what was one of those things that you told us about? Cameras, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were talking a bunch about cameras. I even posted it on Instagram about cameras. And then guess what I found? Boom.
Where'd you find it?
I found it at the bins.
Wow.
It was just, yeah. So what did I pay? $2 for this? It was just.
Hello, that's a complete kit too.
Yeah. I had to order the batteries. I had to order the batteries and the charger to test it out. And like you said, Nikon D40, the megapixels was kind of low on this one. Only 6. Mm-hmm. But it was a really, it wasn't like the, you were talking a lot about the cyber shots. Yeah. Yeah. But happened to run into a camera. I just picked up the bag and I had no idea. It looked like a camera bag and it was heavy. So took the chance on it and $80. Most of these Nikons sold between $80 and $100, just depending on how many accessories you had on there. So
it sell fast?
Yeah, it less than 24 hours.
Yeah, that's the best, dude.
Wow.
So the battery that goes in that, is it a
lithium?
Yeah, so did you get a universal charger for it or
no? I should probably do that.
Yeah,
if I'm gonna do this like more going forward.
Like I said last week or whatever, this is the one that I have right here. It's I think it's $4 or $5 on Amazon, and you can obviously move the prongs for the positive and the negative, and then this little part slides up and down for how big it is. There's only a few camera batteries that I've ran into. So right here, there's only a few camera batteries that I've ran into that won't go into this one. They look more similar to this right here.
Right.
It has the, you know, you can't move these prongs right here. But for literally $5, I mean, I've probably charged 100 camera batteries on this. And sometimes it doesn't line up exactly, or like, there'll be like a small little lip on the camera battery kind of casing or whatever. So this prong won't actually be able to touch it. So I just angle the camera battery down. It sounds a little ghetto, but then I take a piece of tape and I'll tape it over the top like that, just so it makes, you know, it'll make contact well enough to charge it. It's the best $5 ever, dude.
Right.
So
yeah, I was surprised that it sold that fast for $80, you know, something you pick up for $2.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been out anything if it didn't work. It wouldn't have been a huge deal, but I thought it was pretty cool. The basically we're like 2 for 2 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Rob gave a bolo of the caddy, the what was it called? The
Den Caddy.
The Den Caddy. And then Fired Up finds it the next week, and then Fired Up brings up cameras, and then I find a camera the next week, and
yeah, that's dope.
There you go. I found a Scotty Cameron too, because you brought up Scotty Cameron's. So
yeah, I'm saying,
yeah,
the bolos are hitting. And
I will say this is a good I don't know if I touched on this one when we were talking about cameras last week. I know we talked about like the megapixels and the lithium batteries, but for, and like this works good in Steven's situation as well. When you guys are out and about and you find a camera and you look it up and say, it's a $200 camera, that's fine. Go to, take and toggle on the, not working or for parts. Not working or for parts. Go look at those. Go look at what those sell for. Say it sells for $25, right? And it's not working for parts. It sells for $25. My rule is that I never pay more than the for parts not working price. Because how I look at it is, I get it home. It doesn't work. I'll list it for parts not working. You're right. You do lose. You'll lose a couple bucks on fees. But generally, you're going to get your money back within, you know, a couple bucks. But right. If it works, obviously, then you're going to get the, you know, whatever the working price is. But when you're, it's, for me, like virtually 100% of the time when I'm at the flea market and so on and so forth, the battery it either has the battery and it's not charged, or it just doesn't have a battery at all. So I'll inspect it, you know, make sure it looks like it would work. You know what I mean? Like the battery compartment is a big one. Like I always look in there to look for all the corrosion. And then if it looks like it'll work, then I'll pay the broken or for parts price on eBay,
right?
Obviously, or less, you know what I mean? But right. I never want to pay more than that. Unless I look at it, if the thing looks brand freaking new, you know what I mean? And it doesn't have the battery and they're going to charge you $5 more than the broken or for parts, but you know, it might be a $250 camera. Then, you know, I might take that risk because it looks so good. But, right. You know, that's a good one because it kind of, it virtually eliminates basically all of your risk out of, you know, out of the deal. So,
yeah, it makes you feel a lot more comfortable buying it.
Yeah, I don't know if I said that one last week, but that is good.
All right, let's look at a couple of hats. Most of the hats that I sold were in the $30 to $50 price range. No real $100 bangers, but there's some decent ones in here that you might run across. Oh, this one goes right along with it. A camera hats. Yeah, camera hats do awesome as well. This one's $30.
Yeah, the shirts do well as well.
Yeah, I've never had a camera shirt, but anything old camera stuff has always been $30, $40, $50, just depending on it.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Heck yeah, $30. That's a good looking hat too. Is that how it came, or did you have to clean it up like that?
I sell these shapers, and I shaped it up.
Well, yeah, the shaper, but did it come all stained up?
Shape.
Yeah, I actually this one I shaped and did a little oxy on it.
Yeah, this guy's freaking the hat restoring king of the world, dude. Hathouse79.com, get you a shaper.
Yeah, actually, I have to order some more stuff. I'm out right now.
Go buy a shaper and then ask him why in the world it hasn't been shipped yet.
Exactly. Immediately afterwards.
I got it. It's coming. I'm going to be on the 3D printing. I got to do a lot of 3D printing email. Next week.
Bye. Contact us. Bye. Contact us.
Yes.
And here's one I tell y'all all the time. Vintage Abercrombie stuff. People don't believe me, but $35 on vintage Abercrombie is really good price. Nobody ever picks that stuff up. They always leave it for me.
Yeah, that's freaking awesome.
Well, there you go.
Did you pick that one, or did that come in a lot?
That came in a lot.
Nice.
But I can't imagine people knowing about vintage Abercrombie that much.
Well, they might at some point. Where I mean, we are Mr. Worldwide.
We are worldwide. Let's see if I got another one.
I'm gonna give you two quickies.
All right,
two quickies. Be on the lookout. Anything with Smokey the Bear.
Smokey the Bear is flying off the shelves.
That dude is hot.
Yep.
I don't give a shit if it's new, old, whatever.
Yep.
This one in particular is gonna be a for eBay. All right. Very good sell through rate. Be dratty. This is definitely not a whatnot deal, but this is good for eBay.
Is that very just nice a polo. Golf polo brand? Or they
it is a golf polo brand, but they do other clothing as well. So that's a good name for eBay.
Be dratty.
Be dratty.
Do you have anything for us fired up in the bolo section this week? Do I need to replay the song?
I've sold so many cameras, so I'm trying to, I swear I've sold like 20 cameras. I'm like, I'm trying to find, here we go. This one was good. I'll show you this first. You can read the title, or it says USMC Digital Desert Marpot Frog Flame Resistant. That's why I picked up the most was the flame resistant part. It's got a powerful hood and so on and so forth. This thing literally sold overnight, and this is what the tag looks like right here. If you can see. Okay, well, I'm not going to be able to zoom in upside down, but it's like, it just says frog. Flame resistant. There you go.
Frog.
It was in size. Yeah, it was in size 2XL.
So it wasn't actually like a military.
It is. Yeah. Fatigue. It's like the, it has like the little military tag in there and so on and so forth. But, I don't remember why I listed it for $145. It actually ended up selling for $75. Like I said, if I don't know all that much and I listed it for $145, I paid, I don't even know, but it couldn't have been more than a couple bucks. And, somebody drops me a $75, dude, it's freaking gone. You know, like,
yeah, the fatigues are kind of,
they're super hit and miss.
Yeah,
they are super. You cannot just go out and grab every fatigue that you see and expect that it's going to be the only ones that I've grabbed and that have sold well that I haven't previously looked up before I got them, because usually at the flea market, dude, things are a buck or two. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. We're just out there freaking gripping and ripping, just going all over the place. I'm not going to look up stuff when it's a buck, you know? And so, but Gore-Tex, obviously. I found some Gore-Tex, you know, camo military stuff. And then the flame resistant military is that one has been good. I had a pair of pants that were $40 or $50 probably. I don't always know, which I need to learn actually more, but they all have the style codes or the, you know, there's a code to them. You just got to sit there and type in all the codes until you figure out which one is the code that you're looking for. But yeah, there's some that go for so much money.
Super hack on the codes and looking stuff up like that. Google Lens and then select text and then copy and paste that text into it really helps. I do that from the computer here, but I'm sure you could do it from your phone too. It just really helps it go quicker.
Yeah, yeah,
that's finding really model numbers.
Yeah, instead of having to put in like all the numbers that you see until you find the one that actually shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. The military stuff does super well, especially when you find, and it doesn't always have to be old, you know, like a lot of the newer military stuff, you know, from 2000s and like the War on Terror stuff does super well, as long as you find, I just look for things that are abnormal. You know what I mean? Like when you run into, I'm in a military town, just like Rob's in a military town. I don't know if there's a base by you or not, Steven, but you know, we run into a ton of military things, you know, dress shirts and also. And so I just try to look for, I've looked up enough of them to know that there's a ton that are like, you know, $10 or $15 that I just look for anything that's abnormal. You know what I mean? Like any tag that's abnormal that I haven't seen, or, you know, a different style or whatever. And then those are the ones that I'll usually take and look up or whatever. But that was a good one.
Yep.
There are so many bases around here. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you being in the DC area is like, but yeah, that's probably mine because Steven stole my first
Nikon AF for $100.
Steven stole my, I wasn't going to bolo cameras 2 weeks in a row, but I was like, that is freaking hilarious. So camo.
I lost my, oh no, I had a couple more hats.
Where's Mary?
Oh, I just sold this one like 2 seconds ago. Right before we came on. I don't know if I keep underselling it, but this five bar Detroit Tigers, I've sold it, the five bar ones, like in like less than a couple of hours, like twice now. And the five bars, of course, have five bars on it here. This one is Drew Pearson, and I don't know if I'm taking a this was an offer of $45. I priced it for $59. I don't know if there's significance to this one beyond it just being a cool
vintage. Any other comps about it?
No. Both times I just listed it for what I usually sell fast for. But they just happen to sell so fast. I mean, usually a Drew Pearson hat is $40 to $60, you know, a bar hat. And I've never even
seen a five bar.
Really?
No.
Maybe that's why. Maybe I should put $100 on it next time I get one. But they do really sell super fast. This is the second one.
See, I would love these are the ones that I would love. I would love if we just had unlimited money and it didn't matter. If we could have two of those and run that exact same hat on Whatnot, knowing that it sells for at least $45 in a couple of hours on eBay. You know, because like, dude, cool hat for sure. Don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? But like, does it go more than 20?
You think this?
I don't know.
You don't?
I don't know. I mean, it's a twill, right?
No, this is wool. It's wool blend. It's like 80, 20.
Yeah. I guess it would just depend on if there's people in there that know that five bars aren't very common. I guess.
Or but, somebody from Detroit.
You know.
You don't think I would get more than 20 on this?
I will. I'm not saying that you would or wouldn't. I just knowing how fast it sells on eBay for 45. You right. know, because like, dude, if it sells on eBay for 45 in 2 or 3 hours, like, you know what I mean? If you're getting literally anything less than 45, not worth it, you know what I mean? Because like I'll definitely wait 2 or 3 hours for, you know, 10, 15, 20 extra dollars for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's, that's cool. What's that?
Not all Simpsons is built the same. I mean, there's a bunch of Simpsons stuff out there that is not worth a damn dime, but this Simpsons with Krusty and Krusty the Clown, Krusty Land, usually $40 to $50 on that one. That was pretty cool.
You obviously sell a ton of hats, Steven. Have you seen a rise in the amount of strap back hats that you're selling that aren't like, you know, a golf or some kind of like active sportswear type hat? You know, dad hats. Have you seen more dad hats selling?
It usually does during this time.
Okay.
When it's dad hat time, when Father's Day. And this month, and kind of during the summer, dad hats will sell a little bit more and the strapbacks will. But I haven't like noticed like an overall better. But just as far as this month and the next month, you sell a few more just regular dad hats during that time.
Yeah, because I feel like dad hats are – I feel like they're getting more
money. They're heating up?
Yeah, I feel
hope so.
Like so because,
I'm going to get rich.
You know, not all dad hats are the same, but
– no.
Not all dads are.
I mean, Jen, if you were to put it in a broad spectrum or whatever, the snapback is the preferred hat, you know, across the board. But, and that's what, you know, it's going to get you the most money. But some of the strapback hats that I've sold over the last, you know, month and a half or whatever have gone for like some super good money, you know?
Yeah. That 22 hat, did I bring this one up last time?
Yeah. That's like the streetwear. That's a good one.
I couldn't remember if I'd talked about that one.
Yeah.
I got one more.
Hit me.
Everybody should know this brand, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kith and Ken. This one sold for $65, and it's a really great brand. I almost sent this one into the Real Real. I got a couple of hats in at the Real Real right now. One is a Laurel Piana hat. And I went ahead and sent that Alexander McQueen hat. I don't know if y'all remember seeing that one. I sent that into the Real Real. I wish I had it back, though, because if that Laurel Piana hat sells, it's around probably $150 that I'll get. But the Real Real takes ungodly amount of money, but that's that game.
That's for like the authenticity or whatever.
Yeah, they'll authenticate it and they'll picture it, sell it, and then send, get you the check. Okay. I think they're trying to sell that Laurel Piana for like $270, and they're going to cut me a check for like $120 or $130. I could probably put it on eBay. I don't know if I'd get $200 for it or not, but the Alexander McQueen, I was kind of surprised. They've got it priced around $120 or $140, but I'm only going to get like $40. So I wish I wouldn't have sent that one in.
Yikes.
I would rather, I think it's kind of tiered on how much it sells for is how much you get, how much they hold out. So
yeah,
I probably won't send the lower end hats, lower end, like $100 hats. I probably won't send those in, but like something like Laurel Piana, I'd rather them just take care of it and me not have to worry about it and then just cut me a check whenever it sells.
Fuck, I think it's so funny. Oh, Mike Tyson, Kith and Ken. Oh, broke my back. Oh, sometimes I'll spend 20, 30 minutes on the internet just watching Mike Tyson interviews. What an absolute animal. You know? What
for sure.
You can keep your belt. I want to take his health. What a crazy guy, dude, huh? Hey, let's get, before we get up out of here, let's get predictions for the OKC. Who are they playing?
Oh, they're gonna win in five. They're winning the Pacers. They're playing the Pacers.
Playing the Pacers game one today, right?
Yeah.
When?
Yes. In about 7 minutes.
7 minutes. I gotta minutes? Get that's
they're gonna
that's
win why. In five. Why do you say five, not four?
Because they're gonna give them one. They're gonna take one game off. They just always rest at least one game and let them but the Thunder are good, man. They're really good.
Yeah. It's about time Oklahoma gets them one, you know? Like, I'm just saying. Freaking.
Say it. They're due? They're due for one?
Yeah. Do you guys have sports betting in Oklahoma?
No. That's one thing that sucks about this area. We can't even bet on sports.
I got sports betting.
Let's look it up.
We might need to. Now,
the Thunder are favored. Pretty good.
We might need to put a little Raiders of Reselling podcast bet going on.
You think the Pacers?
No. I think we should all go for the same team.
Oh, okay.
And I'm down with the Thunder.
Put a collective $100 on it?
Damn, tonight they are giving up 10.
What's the odds, Rob? What's the odds that they win the whole shebang? What's that one? You like that word, dude? Shebang? I'm so old, dude.
$650.
-650?
-650, yeah.
Oh, dude, that's a terrible. No, we can't do that. You win no money. I mean, unless you're betting like tens of thousands.
Put up a dollar. Hey, if you put up a dollar, you get $1.15 back.
Dude, 210, low down and more. Animal of a question, dude. Longhorns or Texas Tech? Who you got? Women's softball, dude?
Texas Tech.
Hook'em horns. Wait, how do you do it? Hook'em horns.
Her name's Nigeri Kanade. She's the best pitcher in softball, if you didn't know. And she plays for Texas Tech. Yeah, you didn't know that.
Hasn't she pitched every game so far?
Every game. Last game, she was supposed to be intentionally walking this batter, right? And it's in the bottom of the seventh. The game is on the line. She's intentionally walking this batter to load the bases and then throws it right down the middle for some reason. And the batter singles and they win. They let Texas win because I don't know how she missed throwing the intentional walk and throws it right down the middle. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Just like almost like Texas paid her off. They paid her an extra $1 million so Texas could win something so they can feel good about themselves. But
listen, I'm Marsho, you're my guy. I'm utterly blown away by the fact that you know the first thing about women's softball.
because we are the best softball. OU is the best NCAA softball program ever in the entire history of softball. We just won 4 national championships in a row.
In a row.
How many dudes on the team?
In a row. And we finally don't win one, and Texas Tech is going to let Texas win it when they have Texas Tech has the best pitcher in the nation.
Well,
over under for tonight is 229.5.
Oh, that's a lot of points. I don't know. I don't know ass about basketball, honestly. So,
yeah, if it had been close, I would take the Thunder. But if we're going to win anything,
yeah, that's like, I mean, you got to bet like a large sum of money to win. To win anything at -650.
Well, hopefully maybe the Thunder will get down a couple of games and then we'll put some, we'll let it ride.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Next week, dude, when they just need to go down like 2-3 or something.
Yeah.
2-3 comeback. We'll win some money. So, Hey, and that can pay for the boys' plane ticket out to Florida. So we can do a live pod from the studio and we can have a whole weekend of just getting absolutely after it in the trenches.
All right, I need to know over 229.5 or under.
I don't know.
Are you laying down this money?
Yes.
I would take the under. I think the Thunder's defense is going to surprise them, and I don't think the Thunder don't shoot that well anyways. I would take the under.
So that is a lot of points. So you guys from
done.
Heck, how much our show? Thank you, bro. Thank you.
How many units did you put on that, Rob?
Yeah. Just one unit.
Yeah. One unit is $1,000, by the way. If anybody needs a loan, we know a guy. His name's Rob Porch. He will give you large sums of money at a very low interest rate of 22.7%.
What was it?
22.8.
What was this point? 229.5?
Yeah, 229.5.
All right.
All right.
We'll see.
As long as we don't get to 230, I'm good.
All right, guys. We're going to go watch some Thunder, and we're going to count our money.
Yeah. Count our money, dude, because Rob's money is our money.
I need an outro song, too. I'll work on that for next week, but too bad you couldn't hear the Bolo rap song. We'll play it on the way out. See you guys.
Raiders keep you informed.
Goodbye, my friend.
Goodbye now.
No, Raiders. It's
Bolo Raiders.
Drop your favorite cash.
You still can't hear it?
Raiders see you guys. Keep you informed. Raiders bolos can't be ignored.
Can you read that?
Bolo finds, bolo prize.
It's a rant that the man writing me a note.